Now, the title of this message is All Things Work Together for Good. All things work together for good. Now, this message that I'm preaching this morning is one I need to hear often, and I believe you do. It's one that I should study carefully. It's God's message. It's God's message to us this morning. And it's one that we need to study carefully. Get the tape and listen to it again. And it's one, if we believe it, fully, confidently believe it, will give us strength, comfort, assurance, and confidence such as we've never had before. Because we have entirely too many fears for a people to whom the Lord said, "Fear thou not." Let me say that again. We have entirely too many fears for a people to whom our Lord said, "Fear thou not, for I'm with thee. Be not dismayed, I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. Yea, I will uphold you with my right hand of righteousness." God said that. Now, David believed him. Because he said, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. I will fear no evil, because thou art with me." And we have entirely too much anxiety and too much concern for material things and things of the world and things of the flesh for people to whom the Lord said, "Consider the lilies of the field. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet Solomon in all his glory was never arrayed like one of these." If God so clothed the lilies of the field, which today are and tomorrow cast into the oven, how much more shall he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no anxious anxiety thought for saying, "What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Wherewithal shall we be clothed?" Your Father knows you have need of these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added to you. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. And we have entirely too many doubts. I've preached on this a lot of times. I've talked about it. And I've admitted it. But I will not excuse it. We have entirely too many doubts and fears concerning the mercy of God in Christ Jesus. For a people to whom the Lord said, "All that my Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they'll never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father gave them to me, and nobody's going to pluck them out of his hand." If God be for us, who can be against us? Who is he that condemneth? Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who can separate us from the love of God? We have no reason to entertain these doubts and fears whatsoever concerning his mercy and his grace. Did he not promise? Will he not fulfill it? It's Spurgeon said, the Scripture says, he that believeth on the Son hath life. I believe the Son. I have life. And I'm not going to doubt His love because of something I've done or said. His love is based upon what He's done and He's said. And we have entirely too much grumbling and too much complaining. I do it and you do it. During times of trial. For a people to whom God said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. We're supposed to expect it. Not be surprised by it. That's right. In this world you shall have tribulation. But be of good comfort. I've overcome this world. Beloved, think it not strange when fiery trials come upon you. Think it strange when they don't. Isn't that right? Think it not strange when fiery trials come upon you. All the gold that's ever perfected and made valuable has got to come through the flame. There's nowhere else. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. And we have absolutely, entirely too much attachment to this present life and this present world for people who are looking for a city. Abraham was promised a land, but he never owned a foot of it. He, with Isaac and Jacob, walked through the land a stranger because he was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. We are a people who know that this earthly house of our tabernacle must be dissolved. And when it is, and Paul said the sooner the better, we have a building of God, a temple not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We are a people who long to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And yet, it's so difficult for us to turn loose of this present existence. Well, the only way, I know of no other way, for us to be weaned and delivered from these carnal principles is to find something better. The only way for us to be delivered from these anxieties and fears and doubts and worries and grumblings and is to lay hold of something that will be so much better. And I want to tell a story here. You've probably heard it, but it illustrates what I'm saying. A friend of mine was in a restaurant, a large restaurant down south. One of those restaurants where you eat all you can eat for a certain price. It's a fine restaurant. They had all kind of things on the smorgasbord. One of the things they had was boiled corn. I've eaten there several times. I remember the boiled corn is about, in little corn cobs, about 3 or 4 inches long. And they're in this butter, oh my, floating in butter, warm, a light on them, you know, yellow, beautiful. And this little boy, about 3 or 4 years old, went through the line with his mother and dad and got one of those ears of bright yellow boiled buttered corn. And they ate their lunch and they were getting ready to go and pay the bill, and he still had that corn in his hand, that cob of corn. in her little greasy, buttery fingers, gripping it and sucking on that cob and eating what was left of it. And his daddy told him to lay it down. He wouldn't do it. He just kept that in both hands then. His daddy told him to lay it down or he'd whip him, but he didn't lay it down. His dad smiled and tried another approach, and he still wouldn't lay it down. And the owner of the restaurant saw what they were problem they were having. And he came over there with his hand behind his back. And he stood in front of this little fella holding that ear of boiled corn and tears running down his cheeks. He did not want to part with that treasure. And the owner of the restaurant pulled his hand out, and there was a Hershey bar, a chocolate Hershey bar, milk chocolate. And that little fella just dropped that beer corn and grabbed that Hershey bar. And that's what I'm saying. Our religious works will be dropped and matter little if we ever see and get a hold of his finished work. It won't be hard to turn loose a boiled buttered corn if you can see the glorious accomplishments of Christ in his life and death. They'll be dropped like a shabby old cloak at the door. And our righteousnesses, they'll appear to us as they really are, filthy rags, when we behold his perfect righteousness. You won't have to argue about it. You won't have to debate it. If you ever see his righteousness as it's revealed in him and in his word, you won't have any problem with your goodness. It'll appear to you to be exactly what it is, evil. But you can't see evil in yourself till you see the beauty and holiness in him. You can't reverse that procedure. And our plans and purposes, and we draw up our blueprints, what we're going to do. The Lord warned us, don't even say tomorrow we're going to do this and that. Don't even say tomorrow unless you say the Lord willing, I'll do it. Our plans and purposes will fade more with every revelation of his divine will and his purpose. My times are in his hands. My God, I want them there. That's what the hymn writer wrote. And even so, our fears and our anxiety and our doubts and our complaints against his providence and against his purpose for us and for our lives and against our little trials, our light afflictions, that's what they are compared to that glory. All these things will disappear, listen, in proportion. They will fade in proportion to the faith we have in his promises. He said, fear thou not, I will help thee. I will strengthen thee. I will sustain thee. And the more I believe in that I will, the less I'll fear. The less I believe that I will, the more I'm going to fear. That's just so. Now my text, Romans 8:28. And we've read this and read it and read it. Let's read it again. Maybe we'll see it. Maybe we'll experience it. My dear friend, Brother Barnard, said a long time ago, before some of you were even born, he said this to me. I hear people say, I believe the Bible. They don't. They don't until they experience it. We only believe what we experience. Once experienced, you believe it. And maybe we'll read this again, we'll experience it. It says we know, verse 28, and we know theoretically. We know in our creed. Maybe we know in our heads, But oh, that we might know it in our hearts. We know that all things work together. All things work together for good to them who love God. To them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, to really believe that, and sincerely believe that, and lay hold of that promise, my friends, is to find rest and peace for every day under the most trying circumstance. Now, I started to give you an illustration, but I'm not going to do it. These tapes go all over the country. People everywhere listen to them. I wouldn't want to add to anyone's distress or unhappiness. But a friend of mine found out something a few months ago, weeks ago, and sat under a pine tree down south in a Bible conference and relayed this tragic discovery to me. And he said, "I'm devastated, totally devastated." I said, "I'm devastated with you," concerning his family. The death of my son in Vietnam is not nearly as troublesome and as grievous as what's happened to this man's son. And I'm saying, to really believe this promise right here as a child of God is to be able to find rest and peace even under those circumstances. Even under those circumstances. Now this, and you know, all we have to do is discover somebody else's trial to understand that ours are not as great as we thought they were. Not nearly as heavy. Not nearly as heavy. None of us have resisted unto blood, have we? But now this promise is not for everybody. I'd like to believe it's for everybody here. I look into your faces and I can't tell you how much I love and appreciate you, and I want desperately for this to be yours. But let's face it, it's not for everybody. It's for those whom he identifies in the text. There are two expressions. He said, listen, all things, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. If a man doesn't love God, and a man's not called by his grace, this is not true. Now, that's just plain, isn't it? That's so. And actually, the first is an outward manifestation of the second. We love God because we're called according to his purpose. We don't just stand up here and say, well, we love God. Yes, we love God because he first loved us. That's why we love God. So this promise is to those who love God. Now listen to me. The natural man does not love God. Now I know this kind of makes us bristle when we tell people the natural man hates God. But now listen to me. Let's just be reasonable. No natural man loves God. Not the living God. Now he may love a God. The natural man, the unbeliever, the unregenerate, he may love a God. He may love the God of nature. He may love the God of his imagination. But the true and living, almighty, eternal God of heaven and earth, the God of revelation, the God of creation, the God of redemption, the God and Father of Jesus Christ, is not loved by natural men. Now, he's just not. They don't love him. But the believer does. I love God. I believe I can say this morning, I am one of them who love God. I love God sovereign, don't you, on the throne. I wouldn't have it any other way. A man called me last night, late, about 10:30, way down in North Carolina. He said, I got no place to go to church. No place. He said, I've tried 20 churches in this town, and not a one of them preached the sovereign grace of God. Not a one. I named the church in that area. I said, how far are you from that church? The grace of God's preached there. He said, 50 miles. I said, drive it. If you can't do it but once a month or twice a month, if you're too old to make it but once every 2 months, drive it. I couldn't sit and listen to anybody lie on God, could you? Not going to. I love the sovereign God, the God on the throne. Let God be God. The believer loves God as his Father. They have the spirit of adoption. They say, Abba, Father. The believer loves God as his King. The Lord rules over all. I rejoice. The Lord is God in creation, providence, and salvation. We love Jehovah, God our Savior, God our righteousness. We love God as our portion. In him we live and move and have our being. We love God as our inheritance and our reward. We shall see him and be like him. The believer loves God. The ways of the Lord are unsearchable and past finding out, but so be it. Amen. So be it. It's the Lord, Eli said, let him do what he will. It's the Lord, Job said, he hath given and he hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Those are men who love God. A man sat at the side of the road and cursed David, a tramp. David, driven from his kingdom by his son Absalom. David, driven from his throne in shame and humiliation. And here this worthless fellow cursing David. And Joab said, I'll cut his head off. David said, no, leave him alone. God had him curse me. God had him curse me. And we'll just wait to see why God had him curse me. We'll know sometime. Isn't that right? I believe God. I love God. And the believer is called according to his purpose. Now, my friends, all men may receive what is known as a general call. I know there's a general call. It's a call of nature. The heavens declare the glory of God. Man hath to be a fool to stand out under the heavens and not believe in God. Conscience is a call. Conscience. The law of God's written in everybody's heart. Their conscience bearing them witness, excusing or accusing, judgment, preaching, such as it is. But the believer knows that he's an object of an effectual call. Supernatural, mysterious, unusual. God intervened. God called me. I had religion, you did, like everybody else, but God interrupted my religion. God Almighty stepped in and called me. God sent me a faithful servant, a voice in the wilderness, rough on the edges, but speaking the truth. And I heard God in his word. He called me. He showed me who he is, not who folks think he is. He showed me what I am. Everybody trying to deny it, but he showed me what I am. By birth, nature, and choice, and practice, he showed me Christ lifted up. He showed me Christ enthroned. He showed me Christ's righteousness and holiness and blood and atonement. God called me. God called me. I never heard a true believer who said he called himself. I never heard a true believer say he came to God by himself. I've never heard a true believer say anything but God saved me by his grace. Grace taught my soul to pray, and grace made my eyes overflow. It's grace that kept me to this day, and it's grace that won't let me go. 'Twas the same love that spread the feast that gently forced me in Else I had still refused to taste, and I'd have perished in my sins. So this promise here is to certain people, and it tells us who they are. They love God. They love God. And they're called. They've been called according to His purpose. Now then, what does it say about them? It says, all things work together for good. Now, I want to look at each word there for a moment, but first I want to look at the whole picture and understand what Paul is saying. He says, all things work together for good. Good, G-O-O-D. Now, when my friend was sitting there telling me this story and pouring out his heart and weeping, and I said, this is all good. He said, this is not good, preacher. This is as bad can be. So what's Paul mean by good? For some people, the word good means the good of the moment, the good of the hour, the good of the year. In other words, who's going to make me happy right now? Who's going to make me rich right now? Who's going to fill my mouth and my belly with good things? Who's going to cover my back with purple and fine linen? Who's going to make my body strong and healthy? Who's going to make me laugh and never cry? That's not good. That's all temporary. Good right now. But it's temporary treasures, and it won't be good long. The fashion of this world fadeth away. It won't be good long. God's never promised us that all things were going to work together for our temporary good and our present good. He never did promise that. He never did promise to supply our wants or our wishes. He said, I'll supply your needs. Right? So by good here, when the apostle says all these things work together for our good, those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose, he means our spiritual good, our eternal good. Actually, true good sometimes works contrary to present good. That makes sense? What's good for me eternally may be very, very trying right now. Very difficult. See what I'm saying? In other words, what's good for me to come to know God and to love God, it may hurt me an awful lot right now. I had that friend up in prison. He still writes me almost every 2 or 3 weeks. He said, if I had not been in prison for murder, I would have never heard the gospel. You reckon God worked that out for His good? He believes it. My spiritual, eternal good is what? To win Christ and be found in Him. My eternal spiritual good is to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. Now, if Almighty God has to cripple me to get my attention and turn my eyes on Christ, then it's good that I've been crippled. I wonder if John Howson would have ever heard me preach on television if he had not had MS. I remember years ago, you see, he was a professional airman, wasn't he, in the Air Force in Scotland, and got MS and came to this country and listened to the television, heard the gospel, and God made him a member of this wonderful family here, made that wonderful man a member of this family, both ways. But I imagine that I don't imagine, I'm sure that's as difficult a trial as a man could go through, what he goes through. But that's what I'm saying. It's not good now, as good is usually defined, but it's good. Right? My good, my spiritual good, is to fellowship with God and walk humbly before Him. My spiritual good is to be a blessing to others. I'm confident that some of the trials in my own life have made me a better preacher, a more understanding preacher, a person that could feel the heartache of other people. You can weep when you've wept. You can feel what people are going through if you've been right on that road. And if God's going to make us a blessing to others, He's got to send us down the road that they're going to walk so we'll understand. So don't resist. He has a purpose in this. God, my good is to continue in faith. And sometimes we think, well, if our life could just be a little easier, if the needs could be met a little easier, well, it might ruin us. I've known men to prosper and become indifferent to the gospel. Yes, I have. I've stood right in this pulpit and looked in the faces of people who, when they were simple, poor, day-to-day, ordinary folks, loved the gospel or said they did. And they became powerful and popular and rich, and they don't care anything about it now because they've got some boiled corn with butter on it. Grimy hands love it too. So God may supply my needs and ruin my soul. My wants, I mean, not my needs, my wants. Isn't that right? Thank God you're poor. Riches might ruin you. Popularity might ruin you. It don't take much to ruin us. We're ruined already, you know. My good is to finish this course with joy and faith. Isn't that right? That's my good. My good is to die in faith and rise in glory. My good is to be made like Christ. So then, whatever God uses to accomplish that purpose, it's good. All right? Whatever God uses, no matter what it is, no matter how it hurts, no matter how it smarts, no matter how difficult it road, be it joy or sorrow, be it success or failure, be it pain or happiness, be it plenty or poverty, be it sickness or health, be it life or death, all things in heaven, earth, and under the earth, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, angels, principalities, all things, in the past, in the present, and tomorrow, are working together. They're not idle, they're working. There are no idle days. They never rest. The providence of God never rests. It's never idle. The whole path to glory is planned each day, each hour. Sometimes I think when something happens, now, what's the Lord going to use this for? You see, there are many things in our lives that would destroy us if we continued in that same condition. They're working together. These things are working together. You go to the doctor and he gives you a prescription. You take it to the pharmacist and the pharmacist gets a bottle of this and a bottle of that and some powder and some of this over here, any one of which would wipe you out, but puts them together and heals you. And anyone, you see, too much joy would intoxicate us, too much misery would drive us to despair, too much sorrow would crush us, too much suffering would defeat us, too much pleasure would ruin us, too much defeat would discourage us, and too much success would exalt us. So each act of God's providence is wisely designed and sovereignly sent for my good, working together. Together. So it doesn't matter what it is. It says here, and I'll quit. It says, now we know, and we know that all things, tough or whatever, all things, if we love God, and we're called according to His purpose, and we are, all things, name it, by God's grace, help me face it, and more than that, accept it. And listen, Brother Jeff used to love this song, when I can read my title clear, the mansions in the sky, I'll bid farewell to every fear, and I'll wipe my weeping eyes. Should earth against my soul engage, and fiery darts be hurled, then I can smile at Satan's rage and face a frowning world. Let cares like a wild deluge come and storms of sorrow fall. May I but reach my heavenly home, my God, my heaven, my all. There shall I bathe my weary soul in seas of heavenly rest, and not a wave of trouble roll across my peaceful breast. So I welcome all His sovereign will, for all that will is love. And when I know not what He does, I'll wait for light above, and it'll all be answered. May God bless this message to your hearts and to your comfort and to your joy. Let's sing for our closing hymn 297, God will take care of you.